by the church, nigga. You could meet me by the church, nigga. That is just crazy work, B.
Heavy, heavy, heavy.
Mama told me not to sell work. 17.5, you can meet me by the church.
Wow.
Out dope, man. Out dope.
I'm actually starting to love it.
Honestly,
it's starting to pull me into the world.
I know, G.
Yeah, and the beats are heavy.
Yo, Spanish ran. Yo, G, like, I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you, man. Give the people the track list, man.
Yeah, we'll give it to them. So
let them know what they was listening to.
The last four tracks were off the album Holy City Zoo, Spanish Ran, and El Do. First track, we had Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Second track was Coi Leray.
Coi Leray.
Fourth track, Safe and Sound. It's one of my favorites.
I love that shit.
And then five, the fourth track. The last segment of those last four tracks was Mama Told Me.
No doubt.
And where he used that Migos hook.
Yeah, he remixed that little bit. Yeah, 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 yeah.
That was dope, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Audioly, man, it really puts me, like audioly, man. Like, the beats, you know, the kick and the snare, man. They really run the show, you know. And when you get an artist that can flow with that, you know, you listen to the way that they put in the vocal stabs and how he, like, takes the pauses in his verses, like,
yeah,
and then it'll hit you with that Jesus, you know what I mean? Bro, I'm telling you, Still Hope, that's another crazy song that we're gonna play later, man. But
yeah,
it's very, very artistic, B.
Yeah, it is. So yeah, man, it's very artistic. It's very unique.
It is, bro.
It's dope, man.
It is hella dope. That's
when
all
he says
it is.
Some crazy shit.
Yeah,
When he says some crazy shit,
yeah,
then Spanish Ran just leaves it open.
I know.
And then it's just like echoes.
I know.
And it's like, what the fuck?
I know. Like, when you listen to it in the headphones,
yeah,
bro,
yeah,
the panning of the filters that they use on the you know what I mean, on the ad libs and it's like, bro, it's so spacey.
Yeah.
But yo, you just. I was really in Mexico on the ground.
Yeah.
On the ground.
Yeah.
I seen, then, I, you know.
And then it'll play like a stab or something really eerie.
I know.
You know, like the church bells or like a female, like.
I know. Oh. I know.
And then.
Yeah.
Shit was, like,
you know what
Jesus
I mean?
Jesus Christ.
You know what I'm saying? So vivid.
Yeah. And it's like, what the fuck?
Nigga, it's like a horror movie.
Yeah, straight up.
But.
It is like,
it's like a horror drug kingpin movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is.
And obviously we ain't glorifying it. I'm just saying it's the way in which it's packaged.
Yeah.
Right? And if you're a person who can appreciate hip hop music, you can appreciate how it's packaged and how it's delivered and the art behind it, right?
Yeah.
You know, he'll tell you straight up that he's grateful to not be in the streets anymore.
Yeah.
That he's got this rap music to you know what I'm saying? So it's you know, and it's a line. Like, there's a thin line, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a thin line, but you know, he believes in a higher power for himself, and that's cool, right? Like, you know, it's yeah, man. I just find it very entertaining. And I don't mean that in a sense of like it's a joke. I can admire art, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Man, honestly, I think that I needed that. I think that I needed to listen to that. Like that first time you showed me in the whip and then just now as well.
Yeah.
Because I'm starting to get more into it. Like, I'm starting to like it more now.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I'm saying I needed that because it's so different.
Oh.
Like, it really, it makes me want to do different shit.
Uh-huh.
It makes me not want to do shit that everyone else is doing.
Creative.
Like, it makes original. Me want to, like, want to make the listener be like, what the fuck is this?
Original.
Original. Indeed. And then, man, I think, yeah, so I recommend anyone out there, just get a breath of fresh air. If you need a breath of fresh air in the hip-hop realm, in any musical sense, in any artistic sense, you know, if you're an artist of any kind, or even just someone who's just looking to find some new music, either way, this will really refresh your mind.
Indeed.
And can possibly shift your angle a little bit on, you know, the things that maybe that you're looking to build or that you're just thinking about in general.
No doubt, no doubt. So we got something special for y'all, man. Obviously, me and King Wise, we be on this kick, man, where we like to show clips of, you know, documentaries or interviews of the artists or producers that we're showcasing on the show. And so today we got an interview with Spanish Ran, the brother, the mind behind these instrumentals that you are hearing. And we're going to get into that for y'all, man.
Yes, sir. Let's get it, man. So this on Hip Hop Gems TV, Spanish Ran interview. Very interesting outlook on his journey. And honestly, useful for any producers or anyone trying to break into the industry, man.
No doubt.
So let's get into it, man.
The Boom Bap Syndicate, baby.
Y'all know what it is, man. Another Saturday, another great, great episode, Hip Hop Gems TV, man. Today, we got Spanish Ran, man. About to come in, drop some jams. He also want to talk about his latest project and a shitload of more. Y'all stay tuned, man. Another Saturday, another gym, high level shit. Let's go. Y'all know what it is. It's another Saturday, another gym, more high level shit. Hip Hop Gems TV. We got someone here that is very special to the culture. Like, his work speaks for itself. Spanish motherfucking Ran is here.
Appreciate it, my guy. Thank you for the invite.
No doubt, brother. Thank you for being here again.
Yeah, of course.
How you feeling, man?
I'm great, man. I'm just soaking in the summertime. You know, summertime feel. Sun is out. Still broad day.
Mm.
Just living life right now. Just happy.
Absolutely.
Happy.
Absolutely.
Happy to be alive.
There you go.
There you
Ain't
go.
Ain't nothing more better than that, man. And we just came from the Bushwick Collective Festival. You know, we just talking about that on the way in, man. That was a good time running into everybody. I felt like hip-hop was... I don't know, for me personally, I know, like, we had set up Kimmy with KRS Performance, but I felt like it was good to see a lot of people there, like, good to see Eddie and them perform, right. And, like, it was a good moment, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, like, running into everybody, like, that was, you know, the spectators, and so that was a good moment, man. That was a good moment for hip-hop.
Yeah, it's like the high school lunch table, you know?
I felt like that.
It always feels like that to me.
Yeah, and if, for somebody like me who's, I'm just, like, I don't know, I like to just be observant,
yeah,
you know
course.
What I mean? So, like, I'm just looking at everyone, I'm like, damn, like, this shit is really dope, you know what I mean?
Everybody do different things, but we still come together and see each other perform or just showcase what they got on stage. Like, Eddie and Rim, we did shows with them plenty of times,
mm-hmm.
And just to see their level of progression is always dope to watch, so supporting, it don't cost nothing, you
yeah,
know?
Man, I felt that, man. The energy was definitely there, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Also, y'all, so Spanish Friend, man, tell us about yourself. Let's start off with some humble beginnings and get some things going forward. Get some things off together. Everybody get a chance to get familiar with you on a different level.
Producer, engineer, I guess artist, you could say now, because I'm dropping my own project from the Bronx, Soundview section of the Bronx. Yeah, man, I love music. I've been doing music for a long time, behind the scenes, now more taking more approach of the creative aspect of it, and just pretty much going full throttle, being consistent with it. And that's what I've been doing for the past 3 years, 4 years, taking it seriously, doing producing, and just bringing my peoples with me, you know?
Wow. So before I jump into that, as far as, like, you doing it for 3-4 years now, when you was doing things behind the scenes, what other things were you doing?
I was doing some A&R work. I started off as an intern in the beginning, trying to figure out my way of, like, how to get into the music industry. And luckily, I knew somebody that was close to OGs in the music industry. Like, Lenny S is one of the dudes that gave me my first opportunity in the music industry by just
really
letting me intern. Yeah, at Def Jam, when he was at Def Jam, like around 2011, and just pretty much under his wing, while he was working with big artists and bigger clients, managing rap or A&R projects, I would bring people like Smoke Dizza, Rock Marcy, JIDK, like a lot of dudes in their humble beginnings, like we talked about earlier, into the office, just like us familiarize like who they are. Like, these are the guys that's coming up. And even later on, I mean, Westside Gunn is a perfect example of bringing people early.
You brought Westside Gunn over there
to
as well.
To Rock Nation.
Wow.
Like in 2015.
Wow. So, that speaks volumes, man.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, even in 2011, I remember playing Marsburg as an intern, just playing Marsburg, Rock Marcy, heavy. Like, you know, during that time, it was like a certain way, like the whole traditional route of hip hop wasn't really accepted. It was more of, I think probably like more like the early drill, like Chief Keef, Chief Herbo, like these guys early, like that was the sound that people was gravitating to, even trap. And the traditional hip hop route wasn't really accepted or really kind of died out a little bit. Then you had a slow emergence from like Rock Marcy to like even Action Bronson and Joey Badass. So I remember when Marsburg came out, I got so tapped in because it brought me back into like an early Ghostface vibe. I would play it at Def Jam, dumb loud, like ignorant levels, like if it was in my house or something. Wow. And I remember a few execs, Al Branch, like dudes that's really heavy hitters and shit would come out. Like, yo, how you know about this? Like, because it was so like, kind of like, if you know, you know.
Yeah.
And then it slowly became, you know, I was already tapped into that world. So when it started to get more popular, I was so ahead of it that I was like, I got to grab or be a part of guys early in their humble beginnings. And Westside was one of them when I started seeing how close he was getting with Rock, because I was already a Rock fan. And that just grew into something else.
That's amazing, man. Yeah. So it's so much even untapped there, yo. Like, that's... So, I mean, because, like, in 2011, like, again, like, yo, if you know, you know. Like, I know for me, like, what I was listening to at that time, I don't know, niggas wasn't even listening to none of that shit, you know what I mean? So, I could imagine, like, the people at the execs at the office was, you know, how were they reacting to all of that? That's impressive as hell, brother.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, doing what you like. Like, I always go with my feelings. So, if I like something, you know, I'm gonna present it. I'm not gonna hide it. I mean, anything I like, it could be anything. Not even just that type of route. It could be something that totally left field. Like, as long as it sounds good, as long as it makes me feel a certain way and puts me in the mood of wanting me to motivate, push it, I'm gonna push it because I really believe in it. So it could be the Rock Marcy's, or it could be X, Y, and Z. But as long as I feel right and it feels good organically, musically, I'm going to push it regardless.
Traditional hip-hop, was that something that was that you've been, like, always on as far as, like, musical beginnings? It's like,
yeah, hell yeah. I mean, I grew up, I mean, Dr. Dre was the first. I mean, I was, like, 8 years old listening to The Chronic. My aunt was, old, like, my aunt was like 10 years older than me. So she'll put me on to, like, Rakim, Big Daddy Kane. She was one of those aunts that wasn't an aunt. It was, like, a big sister. So she would have the posters on the wall of Big Daddy Kane, KRS-One, Bobby Brown, I'll Be Sure. Like, different sorts of people. But putting me on to, like, Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre, because during that time, I was on, even Naughty by Nature, but I was on Crisscross, you know, like, so she was like, nah, this is cool, but you should check out Dr. Dre, and then that's why I got hooked into the West Coast music, and then from that, obviously, it led to Wu-Tang, Nas, Biggie, so the producers that was producing that during that time, I was so heavily influenced, like going to RZA, Havoc,
Premier,
P-Rock.
P-Rock, yeah.
And then later on, Pharrell, Alchemist, and then later on, J Dilla. So that became a whole rabbit hole after that. So that's pretty much what I've always been into. And even deep underground dudes, I used to go to Fat Beats and when they had it in New York.
Fat Beats.
And get, I didn't even know what Instrumental Projects was, but I remember I had a Peacetrumental CD, but thinking that there's gonna be like a compilation, but it was just all his beats. I didn't understand it. But going even back to Rock Marcy, he was a part of a group called the UN, and that was like in 2000, 2001, and I didn't even know who he was, but I just know that there were songs there, and that was the only songs there that made me tap into it early, and I liked it. So I go that deep with that shit, you know. So P-Rock, I grew up on all those dudes that was like, I could say like a heavy influence. Mm. So yeah, that pretty much made more sense for me as like the stuff that I like.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow, brother. There's two things I want to ask you, man, because I know you A&R at Def Jam, Roc Nation as well, right? Mm-hmm. I heard in the last interview you did, you was in a studio session with Jay-Z. Mm-hmm. How was that experience, man?
It was humble. It was dope. I mean, these are like, you hear conversations of he doesn't write, he goes in the booth and he mumbles and all that. So it's different when you hear about it and then you see it. So when you see it, it's kind of like, oh, I could curse?
Yeah, nigga.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, oh, shit. This nigga really don't. Yeah. Like, you know, you hear about it, but you're like, yo, he really just did two songs in a matter of 10 minutes right in front of me. And the crazy shit is, right next to me is Travis Scott, and we're like in the balcony. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Eating. I didn't even know what food services was, because you know when you have a studio budget, anything you can, food is unlimited.
Mm.
So I'm thinking I'm about to pay for the dinner or whatever, like, you know, whatever they took out. Mm. And they're like, nah, we got this. We got the cover charge. So I'm like, this is all new to me. Like what? Like free meals and all that. And wow. We're in Jungle City, and it's Travis Scott, myself, and we're just both watching Jay-Z record two songs. One of them was Crown, and the other one is, I forgot the name of the song, Something America. It was on the Magna Carta album. Mm-hmm. And just as a kid, they just brought me back into high school years and a kid. Like, damn, like, I'm watching one of the greatest rappers of all time recording right in front of me without even no writing or nothing. But just being there, fly on the wall, just watching them, you know? And I say a few times, but like, I have a habit of just watching people, but I be on my phone, just killing time, not saying much.
Mm.
But just, I had to really soak that shit in. I had to put my phone away, and me just watch what he do, and just create those memories, or collect the memories, pretty much.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And then even Travis Scott, like who would have thought?
I would have never thought.
Like, you know, but he was talented enough to take it to the point that people were wearing his sneakers and reselling his sneakers.
Yeah.
You know, I would have never thought that.
These niggas headlining festivals and shit.
Like, I mean, yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, that's like that whole room, it's like, I could've just imagined, yeah. You know what I mean?
The first time I met Mike Dean, I didn't know who Mike Dean was. Mike Dean's playing the instruments over certain Timberland tracks. And he's just playing. I didn't know who Mike Dean was until, like, the following year. And I was like, oh, shit, he go back to Scarface. Like, Ghetto Boy, I didn't know none of that. Early Kanye, or all Kanye, pretty much. And just seeing him just smoking a joint, playing his instruments, engineering everything. And I'm just like, all right, this dude is kind of dope. I had no idea who he was.
Right.
But years in hindsight later, like, damn, this dude was like one of the top dudes that Kanye goes to.
Mm.
But when you live in through the moment, you don't know. You just living, you just soaking them shits in.
Can I ask, how old were you during these processes?
Like 25, 26. It was a period from 25 to like 28, 29.
That's just a hell of a moment, man. To add to your musical career and add to your resume, like, as far as what you do, you know, what you ended up, what you're doing now.
And producing was the last thing I ever thought about doing. I never thought about producing. I wasn't producing at all. I was really trying to bring producers in. I was bringing producers in. I was bringing artists in. I wasn't, anything that I'm doing now wasn't far from my mind of
doing. Could you go into, like, what exactly, like, an A&R kind of does? I think some people throw the title around and, like, they really don't know.
I mean, it's subjective. It's kind of like, there's two A&Rs I always look at.
Mm.
And I got school too. You got the office A&Rs, and then you got the lifestyle A&Rs.
Mm.
Office A&Rs is obviously the dudes that just collect the music, but they're not really there in the studio.
Okay.
They just collect beats and then send it out through email. Some of them are not even connected to the artists. They just so happen to work on the project.
Mm.
Then you got a lifestyle A&R. Perfect example would be like Sycamore. Or Lenny S is the perfect example, like, with the artists, taking pictures of the artists, making sure the artist is always good, putting them in the right spots, in the right position, at the right time, making sure they always look good at all times, because he's a representation of them, and just as much as they're a representation of him.
Mm.
So they got to be in the scene, just making sure that you're there, making sure the music is right, stating your opinion. I mean, now it's a little more different because the artist is mostly, you know, they're picking out their features, they're picking out their beats.
Mm.
Or they already got a relationship with the producer, or the producers they're hearing on nowadays, too. Mm. Like, you got Metro Boomin, who could be in the room with different people, and he gonna you're gonna be in the album and place it the certain way, and he probably makes his critiques on other producers or adding his pieces to the pop.
Okay.
So, I mean, I figure like the artists and the producers nowadays is more than anything.
Yeah, like, man, that's what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir, man. The Boom Bap Syndicate, man, taking you into the minds and the supreme realities of these brothers, Spanish Ran and Aldo. Also, we got another dude named Sauce up on the lineup there. But you know, to hear his beginning as an A&R in Rock Nation, right?
Yeah.
Or Def Jam, I should say.
Yeah.
And him being kind of the, what it seems like is maybe the connecting piece to, you know, the traditional sound of hip hop coming back.
Yeah.
But also it's a new form, you know, like Rock Marcy, right?
Right.
Bringing those no drums.
Right.
On his instrumentals, right?
No drums, baby.
Yeah, no drums. And you heard him say he sounded like Ghost. I mean, I don't think it sounds like Ghost, but I could see the vibe. I could see the vibe for sure.
It's interesting that he started as A&R.
Yeah.
I guess Brothers was just trying to find a way to get in, right?
Indeed.
And it's interesting how some people can actually find that talent later, too. You know what I mean? Like someone like you is like, recently, I can see that you found a passion for actually doing A&R type stuff.
Mm.
Like finding new music, finding new artists, connecting artists.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's interesting how just, You find the avenues that your different branches can actually like wiggle and squeeze into when you get closer and closer through the original thing that brought you there. Mm-hmm. Right? And then you see how far your branches can actually go, like what type of different fruits that can actually that can be produced from what you've built.
No, I most definitely agree with that, bro. And I know for sure that, you know, this thing is a tree. I always use that analogy, right? It's rooted most definitely in MCing. But as, you know, One Order grows, you know, look at where we have two radio programs, you know. We started a whole nother series called Bars Without Borders.
Bars Without Borders.
Which is national, you know, soon to be international, right? We have
motherfuckers.
You know, yeah, A&R, you know, we gonna be signing two artists here pretty soon. Like, there's a lot of different things that are rooted in the MCing, but like have branched out into other things from this tree. And
yeah.
And just even listening to him talk about taking like the production side seriously,
yeah,
for the last 4 years, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of a line that I use when people ask me like, "Oh, like how come you ain't blown up yet?" Like, not in like a negative way, but like just like, "Yo, your talent is crazy, right?"
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, since I took this shit seriously in the last 4 years, I'm starting to see a lot of great results.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So it's yeah, man, growth, this is what I say, it's like, you know, growth is, I truly subscribe, man, like some things, maybe growth is time, but I also think that, you know, you can instantly shift your paradigm, bro, instantly.
Yeah.
And then everything changes.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why some people blow up overnight.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right. And that's also the reason why that's also the reason why I adhere to the saying, just keep going.
Yeah.
Just keep doing what you're doing, because if not for that, then you wouldn't be able to find a different angle. You know what I mean? Like, you can't find, because if you just went into another cipher, then it would be sort of like a restart if that cipher doesn't deal with what you've been building for a while. So just to keep going, right? Like, He started as an A&R, and now Spanish Rand is making some of the most eerie and most characteristic, bold type of music that I've ever heard. And for anyone to say that about your music is and it's definitely proof that you've built something very powerful. But, you know, I wouldn't have known that if he just quit because he didn't like the A&R thing, you know. Yeah. Which it sounded like he did, which is, you know, which is peace. However, a lot of people quit early, man. A lot of people quit early. And the Boom Bap Syndicate, we're not quitters here.
No, man. Don't quit, because that's, sometimes that's exactly when the change, like the big break, they say, comes, you know.
Yeah.
Right, in the darkest hour.
In the darkest hour, that's right. And yeah, also I'm gonna give one more. I forgot who this was from, but in, you know, in positive, in the height of success and positivity, consider the worst, because there's ups and downs. And I don't say don't project or think about it. However, be prepared. And when things are going terrible, be prepared for the best. Be prepared for the best. Because that, like, just like Hardbody just said, in the darkest times, it's usually a shift going on in those darkest times.
Straight up, man.
And that's why it's important to keep going through that. And, you know, even in someone's, in the height of somebody's life, it could switch just like that. So it's to honestly prepare for the opposite. You know what I mean? Prepare for the opposite. Keep going in a positive direction. Prepare for the opposite. You know what I mean? Prepare for the opposite. And if you're going through a dark time right now, just keep going, man. There's going to be a time where you look back and you just laugh about it. And you just giggle about it.
That's it, bro.
That's it, G.
I'm super zen right now, B. While we here, man, I'm it's like I feel my third eye is like stimulated right now.
Yeah.
I'm just
zoning. He's meditating.
I really am, bro. I'm here. And I'm also in another dimension right now.
We're out here, man. We're out here bringing y'all the positive,
you know,
frequencies.
I mean? Like, feel that right there, baby. The Boom Bap Syndicate.
Yeah, yeah, let's go. 90.1 FM, CJSF. Y'all know what it is. Let's get into some of that Aldo, Spanish Ran. We get into another project called Methlehem.
Off Methlehem.
Methlehem.
Oh my goodness, that's crazy work.
Yeah.
This is off the Rock Paper Scissors album.
Okay.
Let's go. All
right, let's get it.
Still hope. Oh, no, this is Methlehem.
That's it. That's what you niggas got to offer. We laughing at y'all niggas on this side. I'm still smelling like the Ritz-Carlton, nigga. My sheets Egyptian cotton, nigga. No half stepping, they call me Daddy Kane. Half sprinting, they running that automatic bang. My son just told me, Dad, I think I made the team. Had a conversation about Dreya, don't be a Jalen Green. That's a major thing. They know I'm well off, cooking, let's have a sell-off. Still the best dress, my nigga, we never fell off. I heard them niggas' stories, tried to sell angles. Pulling choppers, biker jackets like we Hells Angels. My new bitch, she a stylist, she a fan of clothes. Fuck talking, slut walking like she Amber Rose.
It's about...
You can turn me up a little bit?
Don't miss the fundamentals, I should pitch a class. Black Tim Duncan's released the rock and it hit the glass. A brick and dash, we was whipping fast. Pills make me better like Neo, this ain't the shit with Fab. I feel like Game or this name dropping. I don't hit the mall, I'm in Bogota going King shopping. My nigga itching, let me clap a nigga. Dick suckers got my grip.